Welcome, Mount Zion family and all our Facebook friends. We're glad to have you here for our second sermon of the day. And in our sermon today, we're going to be talking about the great battle for our souls. Unfortunately, I am convinced that one of the greatest tools that Satan uses is complacency. And complacency can be the ruin of many individuals. We get very comfortable in this life. And when we get comfortable, we get set. And if we're not careful, we won't see any of the impending dangers that are ahead. Years ago, when I went through driver's school, we were told to be defensive drivers. And in that, we were told to anticipate where the obstacles may be. And as a Christian, we need to have some of those same elements. We need to anticipate. We need to be a defensive driver, so to speak, in order that we may look out because of this great spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. All Christians, and everybody for that matter, we're involved, we're in the midst of a great warfare. And that great warfare is a battle for our souls. And that battle occurs each and every day. Now we may not see it, just like Job did not see it. Over in Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, remember there was a conversation between Satan and God. And the conversation went like this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Now I come to this passage just to show that Job was unaware of what was going on behind the scenes, of what was going on in heavenly places. His soul was really being negotiated for. There was a great battle between God and Satan. And brethren, we are in a warfare for our very soul. Just like the Apostle Paul emphasized, look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And beginning with verse 3. Paul could say, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." And so here we see then that it is not a physical warfare, so to speak, but it is a spiritual warfare that we're engaged in each and every day. And in that spiritual warfare, we are to wage a good warfare. Just like Paul told Timothy over here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 18, he said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Just like Timothy was to wage a good warfare, you and I, we are commissioned to wage the good warfare even yet today. We are to fight the good fight over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 and 12. Paul said, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you also are called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And so I'm confident that God would say the same to us, that we fight the good fight of faith. But then how can we as Christians have confidence in this warfare that we wage? How can we be assured of who the enemy is? How can we say that we have been equipped properly to fight this good fight? How can we say that we have the energy to propel ourselves through this good fight? Let me invite you over to Ephesians chapter 6. I believe this passage is very familiar to most of us. Ephesians chapter 6, where we have the Christian armament described. I want to take just a few minutes to talk about three elements that are found right here in Ephesians chapter 6. What we have defined in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the enemy defined, we have the equipment defined, and we have the energy to fight this good warfare. It's also shown to us in this passage. So in our text passage, Ephesians 6, we're going to start reading in verse 10 through 12, where we see that Christians, we need to identify the correct enemy. Start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I want to go back to verse 10, where Paul then tells the brethren there in Ephesus, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want to show you that in this great spiritual battle for our souls, we could be strong in God's might. We could be strong in the Lord, but we have to do something. Verse 11 tells us we have to put on the whole armor of God. And then also in verse 11, we have the enemy identified that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you look at that word wiles in the original language, you will see that really what it's talking about, it is talking about the tactics of the devil. It is talking about how he chooses to attack us. And those are the wiles of the devil. Satan is our enemy. He's the enemy of every individual, and especially is the enemy of Christians, because I believe he doubles his effort on Christians. The devil is a murderer. Jesus said in John 8:44 that he was a murderer from the beginning, and that he is the father of all lies, that the truth is not in him. John 8 and verse 44. Satan has the ability to poise himself, to position himself as an angel of light. I want to tell you, this is frightening, but look over here in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know what that tells me? Is that Satan has the ability to position himself and to posture himself as something that is positive, something that is good, something that is alluring, something that is attractive, but don't buy into it. Make sure that you compare with that which positions itself as good with God's word to see whether or not it is Satan, our enemy. Peter says that he roams around like a roaring lion, that he may seek whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. And we can see then, here in our text passage in verse 12, we can see some of the areas in which Satan uses to enslave our souls, where we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I talked about that great fight for Job's soul in the heavenly places. Those are the type of things that you and I fight against even today. But I want to tell you, Satan is a coward. And if we resist him, he will flee from us. James tells us that in James chapter 4 and in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I don't want us to make a mistake at all. Let's be very clear about this. That the devil is seeking our soul. You know, right after Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, in the very next chapter, Matthew chapter 4, first 11 verses, Satan had the audacity to come and tempt our Lord. I want to ask you this. If Satan tempts our Lord, don't you know that he will tempt us also? He is after our souls. There is a great battle for our souls. Then how can we be prepared for this fight? Well, we must have the proper equipment. And this is equipment is identified in this text, starting with verse 13 and going through verse 17. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. There's not a single piece of the armament that we need to leave behind, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So we have to take on the whole armament, the whole armor of God, in order to be able to stand in that day. And he starts to talk about then the pieces of that armament beginning in verse 14. This is the equipment. We talked about the enemy. Now we're discussing the equipment. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This would be the belt that the Roman soldier would use. The legionnaire would have all of his garments pulled together, girded together with this belt. And the type of belt that Christians need to have is the belt of truth. It pulls everything together. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then furthermore, in verse 14, he says, "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." In the Roman soldier's uniform, they would have that breastplate that would protect and guard those crucial pieces of the body, the heart, the lungs, all those great organs that are found in that part of the body that's in the front. And this breastplate of righteousness was to guard that. For the Christian, godliness and integrity should be woven into our very being. Over in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 13, Romans 6 and 13, we read, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Furthermore, he goes on to say, when he describes this armament in verse 15, "Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In the Christian armament, or in the Roman legionnaire armament, they would have footwear that oftentimes would have spikes in them. That way they could have the traction as they go into the battle when they would fight. Many times they were fighting people that had no shoes at all. And so here then we have the Christian that have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They would also have greaves that would guard the bottom of their legs. So if an attacking soldier would take their sword and try to attack the bottom of the legs, the greaves then would stop the penetrating sword. What about us as a child of God, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Over here in Romans chapter 10, Romans the 10th chapter, and I believe Paul is talking about himself and those with him, but by extension, I still feel that it applies to those who teach and preach the gospel today. Paul could write, Romans 10, 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." You know, when you go out and you take the gospel to others, whether it be your friends or family, those into the community, or even those overseas, I'm sure God feels the same way. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Now I want us to see, he identifies another piece of the armament in verse 16, back in our text passage. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This shield of faith a Roman legionnaire would carry, oftentimes it was 4 feet by 2.5 feet, and it was a full covering shield. It wasn't a partial shield. It was a full covering shield. Oftentimes they would lock their shields together in order to protect against the advancing foe. And I want to say then that the Christian also needs to remember that the faith serves as full protection for them. In Romans 10 and verse 17, we read faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to ask you this, how many times has your faith helped to defend against the fiery darts of the wicked one? Where someone may propose a theory or cast shade or cast doubts on Christianity, yet you knew it wasn't right because you had faith in God and in his word, and that faith served as a shield. And then in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. This helmet of salvation then was designed to protect the head where the brain is. A Roman helmet sometimes was made of a leather cap. Most of the times it was made of metal. It protected the head of the soldier. How many times then that our thinking, reasoning process, bringing up or recalling God's word will help protect us against a spiritual battle? Look over here in Hebrews chapter 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? When you think about God's salvation, day in and day out, doesn't that propel you to the victory that he has to offer? And then the last piece of the equipment, of the armor that God has given us, is found in verse 17. Where he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only weapon in the armament that is both defensive and offensive. You can use it in order to reach out and touch somebody else. It is God's powerful Word. So powerful that it could take a man who was a sinner like the Apostle Paul and turn him into one of the greatest ambassadors for the cause of Christ. It could take even us today, who may be lost in our sins, searching for the way, facing the storms of life, as Brother Matthew described earlier. It could take us, and it could put us under the great power of God, because we read about it and we study about it in his word. This great sword is described in passages like Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, as it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we have identified the enemy. We have talked about the equipment. But I want to show you finally the energy that God has given us in order to fight this great fight. I turn to verse 18 right here in Ephesians chapter 6. I want your attention to be turned to that, where he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. What propels the Christian to the victory? Who gives us the energy to fight that great fight? Is it not our Father who is in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit who has revealed his word to us. And this passage says, this energy comes from God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's where the energy comes from. The next time you think you're at the rope's end, the next time you think you just can't take another step, the next time you think, I don't know if I can fight anymore, go to God by way of prayer. Petition him, Ask for His strength. Ask for Him to intervene. Let God give you that energy to continue the fight. I'm convinced that we'll never be successful if we try to take this fight just by ourselves and we don't tap into the power of prayer. Prayer gives us the confidence as a child of God that we are relying on the greatest ally that has ever been, and that is the strength and resources of our Heavenly Father. Over here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we're told to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice verses 19 and 20. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, brethren, let us adhere to what was written in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's be people that are praying without ceasing. Now, we've talked about this great battle for our souls, and we have discussed how we need to identify that correct enemy, which is Satan himself. We've talked about that equipment that God has given us, and then the energy that we can pray to God for. Perhaps when we get to that last day, as our final days in this life are waning away, we could say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love His appearing. Both Brother Matt and we like to end our sermons with Matthew 11 and 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you have that heavy burden, even today, exchange that burden for the light burden of the Lord. You can contact me or Brother Taylor, one of the elders, one of our deacons, and we'll be more than happy to assist you. Just let us know your need. I ask you now to go with me in prayer to petition our Father who is in heaven. Dear Father, we do thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. We thank you for the blessing of this day, a beautiful day that we have before us. And we pray, dear Father, that we'll realize that Satan is on the prowl. He is looking to take our souls. He's waging that great warfare. We pray, dear Father, that we'll realize you've given us that equipment to protect against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. And we pray, dear Father, that we'll tap into the energy, prayer, as we petition you even now, and we will continue to come to you in prayer day by day. Help us, dear Lord. We look forward to the time when we can gather together as the one body right here in Mount Zion. And we pray, dear Father, that we will handle our duties and responsibilities until we come back and we're here together. Please watch over us in this prayer we humbly offer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.